We are proud to partner with MyFlex Learning. MyFlex Learning is a scheduling platform that helps middle and high schools meet the individual needs of all students. Students can easily create and manage time for flex blocks, wind time, activity periods, RTI, counselor and teacher appointments, and so much more. Even my favorite, synergy time. And with its built-in accountability tool and reporting features, MyFlex Learning solves your challenges around getting kids where they need to be and understanding how flex time is spent. Make flex time work for you. Visit myflexlearning.com/BE to learn more and receive $500 off your first year. That's myflexlearning.com/BE. This B Podcast Network show is presented by IXL. IXL's all-inclusive online teaching and learning platform simplifies edtech needs and accelerates achievement in 95 of the top 100 U.S. school districts. IXL delivers personalized learning across a comprehensive pre-K-12 curriculum, including math, language arts, science, and social studies, and helps you assess student performance through actionable, real-time insights at every level of your school or district. This one solution performs work that typically requires dozens of tools. Want to find out why so many leading districts trust IXL? Visit IXL.com/BE. That's IXL.com/BE. Welcome to Transformative Principle, where I help you stop putting out fires and start leading. I am your host, Jethro Jones. You can follow me on Twitter at Jethro Jones. Welcome to Transformative Principle, a proud member of the B Podcast Network. I am your host, Jethro Jones, and I am honored today to have on the program Sean Slade. He is the co-head of North America at BTS Spark. He's an education leader, speaker, and author. His most recent book, The Power of the Whole, you can find a link to that on the show notes at transformativeprinciple.org. Sean, welcome to Transformative Principle. So grateful to have you here.
Oh, it's great to be here, Jethro.
So what's your big takeaway from our conversation today?
I think my big takeaway from the conversation is that we don't need to be afraid of our emotions, and we don't need to lock them in a box somewhere and ignore them or manage them. That really emotions are a key and fundamental part of how we build our teams, how we build trust. And if we're clever about our emotions, we can really utilize them to be the best leaders we can be and build very effective functioning teams.
Yeah. For me, the big takeaway is how you got us to see that leadership's not a series of checklists, but that it is about who we are rather than what we do. And that is a thread that weaves throughout our whole entire conversation. So we will get to my interview with Sean here in just a moment. If you've been listening to Transformative Principle for any amount of time, you know that I have a love-hate relationship with EdTech. We have the ability to personalize learning for every single one of our students. And yet, so many of our ed tech tools fall short. We need our technology to do more for us. That's why it's so important for me to know that IXL provides true personalized learning across the entire pre-K-12 curriculum, and that it's proven to benefit all student populations, including English language learners and students in special ed programs. As a principal, I've used this in my school. As a parent, I've had my children use it as well. And let me tell you, this is a tool that definitely helps students learn and practice better. IXL is research proven to accelerate achievement. Studies across 45 states show that IXL schools outperform non-IXL schools on state assessments, and independent research from Johns Hopkins University verifies that IXL meets ESSA Tier 1 standards. With those results combined with IXL's teacher-friendly reputation, what more could you ask for? Now, you also know that I don't care so much about test scores, but I know that they are legislatively convenient and something that we have to deal with and manage on a day-to-day basis. If you can implement something that is easy and effective, why wouldn't you do it? If you have a goal to increase achievement for all students, make sure to find out what IXL can do for you. Visit IXL.com/B for a demo. That's IXL.com/BE. Moment. So Sean, I think a good place to start, especially since last week on Transformative Principle, we talked about stoicism, and you have this different belief about emotions and the idea of I need to control my emotions as a leader is something that we've believed and said for a long time in leadership. What's your perspective on emotions at this point?
Yeah, it comes from a foundational point that given the work that, you know, I have been doing and I'm doing now with BTS Spark, where we look at effective leadership, it comes from a foundational point of understanding that, you know what, maybe that archetypal leader that we all have in the back of our mind, that captain of the ship, that authoritative person that has all the answers, doesn't show emotion, follow me, I know the way, that's why I'm in that position, maybe that is just not quite correct. And we've allowed this image or myth to continue. So when we looked at, let me go back one step. You had Alyssa Gallagher on recently, our co-head, and I believe talking about the book Messy Leadership.
That's right, yeah.
And that came out of a study that we did in the first year of the pandemic, where we looked at what were the mindsets, capabilities, and skills of leaders who maybe they didn't thrive, but they did well in that first year, compared to those that really, like many of us, struggled. And what we found out was that the leaders who were able to make that personal connection, build relationships, show vulnerability, admit uncertainty, almost that leader that was not the sage on the stage but the guide on the side, those leaders actually did reasonably well. And when we dove down into it, and this is also part of the book, when we dove down into it, it was understanding that their emotions and their personality played a key role in being able to bring people together, grow trust, and develop some solutions to, you know, that never-ending spiral of closing schools, reopening schools, hybrid, everything else. And the more I've sort of looked into it since then, I'm just seeing more and more research and more articles out there about the power and the strength of emotions. So where our chat today came from was I wrote a blog post, which I should be out very soon, and I'll let you know when it's out, but it's basically confronting that idea and that myth that emotions are something to be controlled, corralled, managed, you know, kept under a lock and key, you know, leave your personality at the door. And rather, maybe a little bit of it is some of the words that we're using alongside the word emotions when we're talking about leadership. So maybe we shouldn't always be reverting to manage your emotion, control your emotion. Maybe it should be words that are more around, how do we exercise our emotions? How do we utilize or cultivate our emotions? And just by changing that word, you start to see emotions not as something that needs to be locked away. You know, we don't want that genie of, you know, coming out of the bottle of the emotions. Is the sort of the mindset. And maybe the mindset is these are a really important set of tools that, when used well, can really grow trust, build relationships, develop team, amplify a shared purpose and experience. So if we start to look at these things, emotions, as part of our toolkit, they take on a completely different image in our mind.
Well, and let's dive into that idea a little bit, because I find that so fascinating that our emotions, when used strategically, can actually build trust instead of destroy it. And here's the thing that I'm thinking in my mind, because we think about emotions like anger or sadness or frustration or whatever it is that we're feeling, and how what typically happens is that our emotions control how we behave. And what you're saying is we should exercise the appropriate emotions at the time to make the change that we want to change. Can you give an example of what that looks like when you are exercising your emotion rather than controlling your emotion?
Yeah, well, I would go back to what we were just talking about. The pandemic brought up so many mixed emotions, and so many people were feeling uncertainty and vulnerability. Those that were able to actually utilize that vulnerability and uncertainty, that actually began to form and grow relationships with other leaders. So when, let's say, I was the leader of a school or district, and we're having an issue around, and it could be any of the things that arose. It could be around Wi-Fi, food and safety, access, mental health, as well as the academic ongoing learning and attendance of students. So we're talking about any of these things. If I was controlling my emotions, I'd be talking in a very business-like, this is the tasks that we need to do. And these are more likely than not, these are the tasks that I, as the leader, have determined that we need to do. The leaders that actually did well would admit uncertainty, pose the questions back to their team. What that then did was it allowed their team to also admit some uncertainty and some vulnerability. And that then becomes a shared experience where you then are growing this support network across not only yourself, but your team. But then what you're also doing is you're building a level of trust and authenticity with your team and your leaders, which allows them to start to share their perspectives, their ideas, their solutions. Oh, I heard from that a district over in Spokane, Washington, was doing something amazing. So, you know, they did this. Here is an idea. I have a cousin who is, you know, trying this one out in their district or school. You start to get more perspectives, more ideas, and it becomes an empowering event. One thing I didn't mention about the white paper as well was that in order for that leader to show vulnerability and to admit uncertainty and invite others into that conversation, that leader actually had to have a high level of self-awareness and self-confidence. And so it seems a little bit ironic that in order to say, I don't know, I'm unsure, what do you think? You actually have to be fairly self-confident to do that. And it's the leaders, now this is not to say all leaders were lacking self-confidence if they led by decree, because it's the norm that we've gotten used to. But it was rarely the leaders that lacked self-confidence that would invite others in. It was often the other way around.
Yeah.
So it's, and when you look at it, there are so many things that we're trying to do in our schools, in our communities, with our teams that actually start from that basis of growing and developing trust. You know, you want to know who your team is. You want to know what their passion is. You want to get their ideas and thoughts. You don't want to be that principal or superintendent that is carrying the weight and onus of everybody that they're serving on their own shoulders. You want collaboration. You want shared experience and a bit of agency. That starts often from the way that that leader utilizes, not control.
Let's talk about flex time in schools. If you've been listening for a long time, you know how important I think this is. It gives us more time for personalized learning, increasing choice and agency for students, and the increased enrollment that comes with it, dedicated time for intervention and enrichment. And overall, as school leaders, it gives us and our faculty more tools to increase academic achievement. But the implementation and management of flex time can be so tough. Tricky logistics and a lack of clear accountability systems can prevent teachers from buying in and can hold us back from ensuring students make good use of their time. I'm pleased to share that MyFlex Learning provides a solution to these challenges and more. MyFlex Learning helps you create and manage flexible time for any purpose. And with seamless SIS integration, a student locator, flexible daily rostering, and an intuitive mobile app, it eliminates the common challenges of implementation and management. Want to see for yourself? Visit myflexlearning.com/B to learn more about it and receive $500 off the first year of use. That's myflexlearning.com/BE.
Their emotions.
Well, and I think the thing that's so valuable there is that when you're utilizing your emotions, especially in these difficult situations, you are building that trust, you're helping others, but then you're also revealing what's important to you and what's valuable to you. So, you know, I was talking to a principal last night, and he's at the point where he has to non-renew certain teachers, and some because, like, you know, budgets are tight and we gotta cut down on enrollment is down. We gotta relieve you because you're not, like, we just don't have the funding. Others because you just didn't do a great job, and that's just a natural part. And rather than giving you tenure, we've got to say, hey, this isn't going to work. And, you know, as I listened to other people giving him advice about how to handle this, some people were like, push it off on someone else, say the district is making me do this. Some people are saying, you got to own it. Some people are saying, make it about the teacher. Other people are saying, make it about the kids, and, like, and all these different things. And he was saying, man, this just really sucks. I hate having to be the one who's doing this. And I was like, well, just say that. Hey, this is a crappy situation for both of us. It's hard for me to tell you, you're not going to have a job here next year. But that's my role in this situation. And I'm sorry that this has to come to it. And so utilizing his emotion in that situation and saying, I'm feeling torn up about this and this isn't fun for me either, is not going to suddenly make that person feel like, oh, it's okay then that you're letting me go. Like, they're still going to be stressed and frustrated. But at the same time, you have a better chance of treating them with compassion and as a human, and having them feel like you actually care about them as a human being, not just a cog in a machine, which is often how educators feel, because honestly, that's what they are. You leave, someone else is going to step in and fill your spot, no matter how valuable you think you are to the organization.
Yeah, everybody wants to feel like they matter and that they belong. Why are staff leaving? They're leaving very often because either it's some of the outside stresses that are coming into schools, or it's the fact that they, like you were saying, are seen as this cog in the machine. If you go, we'll replace you with another cog, as opposed to feeling like you are part of this community. Yeah, and I think the other thing that what you were just talking about raises is, don't we also want to be authentic ourselves? And so if we need to have a difficult conversation with somebody, and nobody enjoys those conversations, don't we want to be honest and authentic? And don't we, not only does the person hearing it probably appreciate authenticity and honesty, they would certainly not appreciate if they find out later that what you were saying, oh, it's the budget, or somebody else made this decision, or something else. They would certainly not appreciate being lied to. But don't we as leaders want to live our values? And if we want schools and communities and the students that we're, you know, serving and the families, we want to be authentic. We want to be honest. And so I just think it's the right thing, not only for the person hearing that conversation, it's the right thing for us. The other thing that, and I'm going to take this a little bit off kilter, so you can stop me if need be, but the other thing that it raised when you're talking about that difficult conversation is that I feel that we've almost gotten into this road where we don't like, because we haven't always cultivated these relationships, and we've reverted to leadership being a series of tasks and duties which don't have any emotion tied to them. We have lost, or we're stuck in this pothole of not being able to have real, authentic conversations with our teams. And that works both ways. It means that very often we've been ignoring maybe having some of those more difficult conversations. Yeah, we didn't hit these benchmarks, or this didn't, you know, work the way that I wanted to, or, you know, we were trying to really increase either student academic growth or attendance or something else, and we didn't quite get there. What was the reason? We've avoided some of those conversations, and instead we've tried to make everybody feel happy on a very surface level, veneer happy. And to be honest, that's not a real relationship. That's a, you know, sugar induced frosting on the top of a cupcake kind of relationship, where everyone feels good in the short term, but there's no real long lasting value. You would want to, if you are focusing more on utilizing emotions, building relationships, really connecting on a human level with people that you work with, then hopefully some of those conversations of that person maybe not achieving, here are some ideas, maybe, all right, things still we're not achieving, then those conversations have taken place over the year or over, you know, the last quarter or two. And it also then means that you've tried things. They can see that you've tried to make things work. You can see whether they have or haven't tried to really move things. And this conversation, which may feel very difficult because we haven't had things to lead up, feels a lot more stressful than it should be. If we have built that relationship, even when you're having to let people go, that last conversation is actually like a, yeah, I know we've both come to this point.
Yeah.
It's not working out. And so it becomes, that it also then therefore becomes a lot less stressful.
Yeah, totally. And I think the thing that you're getting at that I want to highlight briefly is the idea of knowing how to have some of those difficult conversations and how to set them up for success. I have a download on my website called Communication Cards that are basically conversation starters that you, and here's the key. You tell people how you're going to react when they give you a specific card, and then you be so diligent in reacting that way that they know what they're going to expect. So many times, teachers and leaders are at their butting heads because the teachers don't know how the leader is going to react. And so they don't know if the principal is going to control or exercise his emotions that day. And so by having the communication cards, they help you exercise your emotions appropriately so that you know and they know exactly how you're going to act. That builds trust. It helps people know what to expect and makes it so much easier for you to have these difficult conversations, because it's not the end of the world when you do need to have hard conversations.
Exactly. Yeah, we do something similar with our coaches as well, where we have people going through coaching and they start to reflect on what are those triggers, you know. And the word trigger means something small, something sometimes insignificant that has a big chain reaction and then can cause some damage. So these things are not, you know, that most triggers are another phone call or a terse response or an email which was read or written, you know, the wrong way. They're not big things. And so our coaches work with leaders and they start to work out, all right, what's the trigger? And then you start to explain what's putting you in the box, which basically is closing you off and your emotions are taking over. Now, I'm not saying as well that all emotions are good. There are times and places for the right emotions. But what I am saying in this article is understanding your emotions, understanding what emotions can be used positively in this situation, what emotions are actually going to restrict you in building that relationship is key. And so when you're in that box, when you're triggered, let's say when anger or frustration or annoyance has taken over, understanding also what's happening in your brain, what the body's reaction is, and understanding how this might be an emotive reaction to something, and this is how you can now move it to something different and, you know, utilize a different tool to actually get you out of that box and have a real conversation. I bet if most people listening to this podcast thought of the last time they had a frustrating conversation with people they work with, colleagues, maybe even a family member. I'm sure you and I never have disagreements with our family, so
certainly
it's a bit of a rarity to bring up. Do you think about the last time that you had that? Most of the problems are not because of the action or the activity or the task. They are because of the uncertainty in how that person's going to react, the lack of trust, the emotional disconnection between the two of you. It all comes down to that human side of relationship building. It comes down to those emotional sides. And I think emotions are what drives us to action, and we need to understand how they can be cultivated and utilized to really be a key tool, especially around leadership.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that's a great place to end this conversation today, Sean. Thank you so much for being part of Transformative Principle. Once again, you can check out more about what Sean does, connect with him on LinkedIn, which link to that is in the show notes, or at btsspark.org. And Sean, thanks again. Anything else you want to give a shout out to for people to connect with you?
No, I think, yeah, go to btsspark.org. You can find our details there. Yeah, and the only parting point I would say is we're just seeing more and more, and I think understanding more and more, how leadership is not a checklist of duties and tasks, but leadership, if we expect our teachers to be great at pedagogy and teaching, we should be expecting our leaders to be great at leadership. And really utilizing your emotions is a key fundamental part of that.
Yeah, so powerful. Sean, thanks so much for being part of Transformative Principle. I appreciate you.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure.
Do you want to simplify your school's technology? save teachers time, improve students' performance on state assessments? You can do it all, but don't waste another minute. Head straight to IXL.com/BE to learn how IXL's research-proven teaching and learning platform can help you achieve all these goals. That's IXL.com/BE. There are lots of solutions out there for giving students what they need when they need it. But when do they actually do all of those things? You need flexible time. When added into your master schedule, flex time enables students to get extra help or intervention, meet with teachers, make up work, get physical exercise, and try new enrichment offerings. If you're thinking of giving it a try, check out MyFlex Learning, which unlocks the benefits of flexible time without all the headaches you get with it usually. Its intuitive design and SIS integration makes implementation and training a breeze. Make your flex time work for you. Visit myflexlearning.com/BE to learn more and receive $500 off your first year. That's myflexlearning.com/BE.